I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and this is Up to Date. It may be April 1st, but the KCK mayoral race is no joke. On today's show, we're hosting a live debate, the final debate between the two candidates, County Commissioners Mark Holland and Amber Gia, at the Kansas City, Kansas Public Library. We'll talk about the big issues of the race, including property taxes, inner-city infrastructure, and governmental cooperation. The final debate on Up to Date, following this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. A tranquil race for the next mayor and CEO of Wyandotte County was turned on its head last week when flyers began raining on voters. Good morning and welcome to a special edition of Up to Date. We're coming to you live this morning from the main library in Kansas City, Kansas at 6th and Minnesota for the final face-off between candidates Amber Gia and Mark Holland. The winner will succeed Mayor Joe Reardon, who opted not to seek a third term. Tuesday's election comes after several days of fierce charges leveled at both candidates by groups seeking to undermine one or the other. We'll get into those charges this morning, and we'll also cover the big issues facing a county that's very much on a roll, but still facing big challenges when it comes to poverty and boosting the fortunes of its older neighborhoods. Whoever wins becomes one of the most visible public officials in the Kansas City metro, and I'll introduce our candidates right now. Mark Holland is the senior pastor of Trinity United Methodist Church, and he's one of the county's two at-large commissioners. He was elected in 2007. Mark, nice to have you, and good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Also with us is Amber Gia. She's a District 3 commissioner representing the southeast portion of the county. She is executive director of the Argentine Neighborhood Development Association, and she also was elected in 2007. And Ann, nice to have you, too.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning.
Well, Ann, both of you have been on the Unified Government Commission for 6 years. What happened in those 6 years that made you begin to think that you could be mayor someday?
I think my experience and my results sort of speak for themselves. I've been an in-district commissioner serving my second term, as you said. And just my ability to actually get things done in one of the most challenging areas of Wyandotte County. I've cited these things before, but working with the school district to build a $6 million library, we're in the process of building a $3.5 million grocery store, Millions in infrastructure in the way of curb and sidewalk, and millions in housing. I think this is a model that we've developed that we can take to other urban neighborhoods in Wyandotte County and other areas that haven't seen a lot of economic development and replicate that model in those areas so they can have the same success that we've had out west and within my district.
Mark Holland, how about you? What's happened in those 6 years that makes you think you can be mayor?
Well, I think it starts a long time before that. I'm fourth generation Wyandotte County and a third generation pastor in Kansas City, Kansas. And I got involved in the political arena 6 years ago. I had never really thought about running for political office. No one in my family ever had either. But I was looking around at opportunities to continue to invest in my community and to do the right thing for my community. And as I asked around 6 years ago about the possibility of running for commissioner, people encouraged me to get involved, that it was a good way to make a difference. So I've been in that as a community servant for the last 6 years, ran for re-election 2 years ago, just had a really good response. And obviously when Joe Reardon decided not to run again, I so believe in the progress that our community has made. And I'm so excited about utilizing the tools that we now have, tools that we never had before, to really continue the investment in our urban areas. I think it's a great opportunity. And so for me, it's seeing what the need of our community is and needing quality ethical leadership in our mayor's office.
Well, this has been a pretty straight-up race until the last week, as I mentioned in the introduction, when a whole bunch of flyers began hitting Kansas City, Kansas mailboxes. Mark Holland, let me turn to you with one of these flyers. And I'm wondering, I'm holding this one in my hands. Why should you be mayor when you keep voting to raise property taxes? At least that's what this flyer I'm holding in my hand says. This flyer is from Americans for Prosperity, and it says you voted to raise property taxes 9% in the 2012 budget and almost 5% in the 2011 budget. Those numbers are accurate, but tell us why you should be mayor, given the fact you keep raising taxes.
Well, and I think these third-party groups, particularly the Koch brothers, which are notorious for very conservative right-wing attacks across the country, not just in Kansas, obviously have a problem with good government, and they want to minimize government around the country. And it's clear, too, that both of us have voted for diversifying our revenue streams to the city. We've both voted for sewer tax, stormwater tax, hotel guest tax, sales tax, payment in lieu of tax. And so the misrepresentation of this flyer is that I'm the only one that's raised taxes. The other piece, too, is it's only a tax increase, Steve, if your taxes go up. And during the recession, our property values have dropped so far, just like they have across the country, that, in fact, a mill levy adjustment simply captured a portion of that to protect 120 jobs. And 30 of those were police officers and 30 of those were firefighters. And it's very important that we not make cuts to our public safety, 30-year cuts in our public safety during a three-year budget crisis.
But so there's not any doubt, though, that your votes did result in higher out-of-pocket payments by at least some residents in Wyandotte County when it came to their tax bills, right?
By a very small percentage. I mean, the Kansas City Star, your Kansas City Star, confirmed in October of 2011 that, in fact, over 75% of the homes, despite that modest mill levy increase, still saw their actual dollars out-of-pocket go down. So it was a last-ditch effort in the midst of the worst recession in 100 years that have hit communities across the country. So I feel that very strongly that it was the right thing to do in terms of keeping our crime rate low. We have the 30-year low in crime rate. It was just the wrong decision to vote against 10% of our police force during a recession.
Well, help me understand this, though. You know, residents, as I talk to them and get around the county, the one thing they do complain about perhaps most consistently is taxes. They
That's
say
right.
taxes are too high. And even after the big new developments in the western part of the county, that was supposed to help. But you still voted to raise taxes even
right.
in the midst of a very steep recession, as you just admitted.
No,
Why?
That's exactly right. When you're investing in the stock market, you have to look long term. And you can't panic when it goes down and you can't sell it all out when it goes up. If you look at the progress we've made over the last 16 years during unification, you've seen a consistent decline in property tax. That's a value that I continue to hold. And so we've had a decline in property taxes still from 16 years that's been very real. We had a dip during a recession, and so I have no doubt as the values go back up that we'll be able to pull that mill levy back down. We also have an opportunity in 4 years when the star bonds are paid off at the Legends. We're going to have $12 to $15 million in new revenue, and we need to make sure that the next mayor has a plan to invest a significant chunk of
right.
that in property tax relief, both for our residents and for our businesses. It remains a high priority.
Well, your competitor in this race, Anne Merguia, made a very different set of decisions on both these tax votes. She voted against the property tax rate increase in 2011 and against the one the next year in 2012. Anne, why did you cast the votes the way you did?
Because I think there are a lot more options than laying people off or raising taxes as far as the unified government goes.
You could have done it a different way.
Yes,
How?
Absolutely. There are several ways you could have done it. We have a quarter of a $1 billion budget at the unified government. And I think what we need to determine is what the priorities of our constituents are, and we need to fund those priorities. Right now, in my opinion, the unified government is trying to be everything to everybody, and that's just not possible with the size budget that we have.
Well, some folks might say, though, you were trying to have it all. You wanted to vote against the tax increase. You're saying you wanted to keep all the public officials that your rival says you would have had to have laid off, 30 firefighters, 30 police officers. You're saying you could have avoided it.
Yes, I'm absolutely saying we could have avoided it. Again, it's just like your budget at home, Steve. When you and your wife sit down and decide how you're going to spend your paycheck, you determine what's important to both of you, and you pay for those things. You realize that you can't always go on vacation or have those extra things that you want. So it all comes down to priorities. Instead of looking at a budget and worrying about if I don't fund this or I don't fund that, I might upset someone, what you have to do is make those tough decisions. We do agree on that. And those tough decisions mean supporting what the majority of people in Wyandotte County want to see funded.
Mark Holland, why didn't you make those tough decisions?
Well, we did make tough decisions. As the recession set in, we froze hires in the unified government, reducing our total employees by 15%. We did salary freezes for 3 years for all union employees, and we did 4 years for non-union employees. And we also did furloughs for a non-public safety, essentially a 6% pay cut. We'd already done all of those measures. And then it comes down to the recession continued to bite. Overland Park raised their property tax value nearly 25% because of the same issues we were facing. And it came down to values. And the citizens had just voted for a sales tax increase on themselves because public safety was a top priority. And now we have an opportunity to lay off 30 police officers and 30 firefighters. Clearly, the citizens had spoken about what they want, and public safety is the top priority. And I was unwilling to compromise that in the middle of a recession.
You know, and Mark is saying here that if you would, if you had gone your way, you would have lost 30 police officers and 30 firefighters. Isn't that the case?
That's not the case.
And they would have been laid off, you're saying?
No.
The city manager said that you would have laid them off.
No, that we would not have laid them off. There were other options out there as far as budgeting accordingly. Like I said, had we budgeted for the city's priorities and what the community thought was a priority, then I don't believe we would have had to lay them off. And, Steve, I find it really hard to believe, especially for people that attended those budget hearings, like our fire department and our police department, that they would have endorsed me in this campaign if they thought I was actually going to be part of a group of people that wanted to lay them off. It's just not true. They don't believe it. They've endorsed me. They obviously think the direction that I want to take the county is the right direction to take it.
Mark Holland, you were shaking your head just a minute ago.
Well, when you do the math, when 80% of our budget is salaries and support for employees, literally 80% of our budget, when you cut $8 million, that's going to come out of people because people are what we invest in our Kansas City, Kansas. That represents 120 employees. Only half of those are public safety because by our budget, half of our budget is public safety. You can raise – if we did not hear in that budget hearing. We were in the budget hearings, and I think you could go back to the tapes and hear all the suggestions that were made to find other ways besides cutting employees. And we didn't hear any other options from anyone else in the room. It was clear either we were going to raise the mill levy or we're going to lay off 120 people. The other reality is these 120 employees, all the employees of the unified government live in Kansas City, Kansas. We already were hit very hard with a foreclosure crisis, very high unemployment in Kansas City, Kansas. Yeah. I refuse in 1 year to add to that kind of crisis in our community, which is why as the property values go back up, we're coming out of this recession, we will pull that mill levy back down. But we need to understand the difference between a mill levy increase and a tax increase. If the property values have dropped this much and we only capture a portion of that in order to protect our own employees, that's absolutely the right thing to do. And as values go up, we'll pull that mill levy back down, consistent with the trend we've had over the last 16 years with both Carol Marinovich and Joe Reardon, which is why they're supporting me because they see that I have that long-term vision that we've been on. We're on the right track in Kansas City, Kansas. We'll continue to pull that down.
And Mark just said there were no other options presented during these budget hearings, so the commission really didn't have any other choice. What about that?
I disagree. I think there were other options that were discussed.
But apparently you didn't voice them, is what Mark's saying.
Oh, no. I voiced them, and other commissioners voiced them. The vote only passed 6-4. I think you know that was the final vote on the budget. Yeah, I think there were lots of suggestions that were made. And even after it was determined that we did not have the vote to stop the property tax increase, more people continued to come forward and lobby for additional funding. And additional funding was approved for projects that were brought in front of us after there was such a contentious debate about the property tax increase. That's very disappointing to me.
Let me just turn to the issue of these flyers themselves. Were your campaigns, either one of your campaigns, involved in any way in issuing these flyers and mailing these flyers to voters? Ann, let's start with you.
Are you talking about the negative flyers that were put out?
Yeah, these flyers I'm holding in my hands, the one from Americans for Prosperity. If Brownback is your guy, McGee is your gal, you involved in these flyers either way?
No, I was not involved in any of those flyers.
Mark?
Of course not. No.
Okay. Well, the flyer that we're talking about here, at least one of them, was funded. This one was funded by Americans for Prosperity, which in turn, as you've mentioned, Mark, has been backed by the Koch brothers. Why is Americans for Prosperity involved in this race to begin with? What do we know about that? Anything, Mark?
Well, I don't know why the Americans for Prosperity are involved, except that we do know about this group. I mean, Americans for Prosperity, supported by the Koch brothers, is the number one union-busting group in the nation. They've gone after the union laws in Wisconsin. They've gone after them here in Kansas. They're actively pushing bills right now to do away with prevailing wage in Kansas and other things that our union workers deeply value. The other thing we know clearly about Americans for Prosperity is they do not support candidates who do not share their values.
Mm-hmm.
They support candidates that support smaller government, lower spending, and they support folks who don't support unions. So I think there is a perplexing element about how you receive money from unions on one hand and how you receive money from the very group that's trying to destroy the unions in the state of Kansas.
How do you explain that?
I can't explain it. I think that's a mystery.
Okay. Let's turn to a second flyer here. This one is aimed at Ann Merguia. And this flyer seeks to connect her to Republicans, and it also points to a series of taxes and fees that she backed. It's on the second page of this flyer, utility taxes, permit fees, and proposing multiple times to spend extra tax dollars in her third district. What about that, Ann Merguia?
Well, I think the whole flyer itself is kind of humorous because on one side, they seem to imply that I'm really a Republican when I have been a lifelong Democrat.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, it pretty much labels me as a tax and spend Democrat. So they don't seem to be able to make up what their mind is on that flyer. In regard to what they said, it's just, you know, other than, yes, Mark Holland is accurate. I did vote for a sewer tax, and I supported the community's agreement to raise sales tax on themselves, and I definitely voted for that. So I'm really unclear what the message is in that flyer.
Well, where do you come down on taxes? Because just a minute ago, you were making a very strong point that you had voted against the property tax increase
Yes. In
the rate in 2011 and 2012. Here you're saying there were some fees taxes that you did vote to increase. So where are you on taxes?
Well, this is the difference. When you vote for a sewer tax, which was a direct reaction to a federal mandate that we need to separate our sewer systems, that tells the taxpayer specifically how their money is going to be spent. It's about accountability. It's about transparency. When you vote for a sales tax that the people of the county have already said they are okay with for a very specific purpose, which was public safety and infrastructure, then I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay is at a time when we're seeing one of the worst recessions we've ever seen in our county. People are getting laid off. People are not receiving raises, experiencing a very difficult time. To charge them more through property taxes for property that is worth less, I think that is a contradiction. And especially since property tax goes into a general fund and doesn't really tell the taxpayer what those dollars are going to be spent on. I think the taxpayer is entitled to more than that when everyone is going through such a bad time.
Mark?
Well, there is a specific purpose for property tax because when you dial 911 and someone answers the phone, that's paid for by your property tax. When someone shows up at your house in 8 minutes, that's paid for by property tax. That's a fairly specific reason that we pay property tax. So clearly, I think there is a difference in terms of, I think when we're up there in the city and you've been elected to office, I think it's time to run the city. I don't think it's time to be thinking ahead to your next election and what you're going to be able to say in your next election. We need courageous leadership in our county that's going to make the difficult decisions, even the unpopular decisions, to do the right thing. Because if we're going to just sit up there and run for office, we're never going to get the kinds of progress we need and the kinds of courageous leadership it's taken us to move this far in the last 16 years.
And he's implying you haven't been courageous.
Well, not according to the Kansas City Star, because I think you said Mark was the status quo and I was the shake it up candidate. So I'm definitely about shaking it up. If you remember on the first property tax increase, I stood alone 9-1, which is a difficult thing. If you know anything about politics, going against the political machine doesn't really garner you any favors. The second time I still, even though I knew we didn't have the vote, I stood strong and voted against a property tax increase. You know, despite all the claims out there that I'm allegedly this Republican, you know, posing to be a Democrat, which is absolutely ridiculous, I absolutely want to own the fact that I'm willing to work across party lines. You know, as you know, Steve, the state of Kansas is predominantly Republican. Wyandotte County is this little, small Democratic county trying to survive in a sea of Republicans. I'm going to work with Democrats, independents, and Republicans, and all kinds of people in order to get things done here in Wyandotte County. And I'm proud of the fact that just an hour ago, Congressman Kevin Yoder showed up at my campaign office with a campaign contribution and a pat on the back telling me good luck. I'm proud of that. I want that to continue. I want Wyandotte County to have a seat at the table on the regional, the national level. Unfortunately, for a Democrat, we don't have a Democrat congressman. So you know what? I'm going to take what we can get, which is support from our Republican congressman.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're coming to you live this morning from the Kansas City, Kansas Public Library at 6th and Minnesota. We have a live audience right here in front of us. And folks, if you have a question for either of our candidates, preferably for both candidates, a question they can both address, please come up to the microphone here in the front of the room, and we'll get to a couple of questions here in just a few minutes. This flyer, again, that we're talking about here, the latest one from WICO Jobs PAC. This is the one that is anti-Anne Murguia. What is WICO Jobs PAC? Do we know?
I think we know. My understanding from our investigation is that WICO Jobs PAC is funded by Kansas Jobs PAC. And I have right here on my cell phone a message from Joe Hudson, who's a member of the Carpenters Union that supports Mark Hollin, that says that they give annually $10,000 to $15,000 a year to that PAC. So though Mark, and I do believe this, may not have been aware of that flyer, clearly it is the support that is put out by supporters of Mark Holland.
Mark?
I'm not aware. You know, one of the things that I said, and I said this to Ann the other day when the first negative flyer fell against her, I went out and reached out to her because it upsets me that these third-party groups get involved in the race. We've been out here trying to put our message out to voters, running on our record and the things that we've already done and the vision that we have for the city. And there's groups that want to be involved. And unfortunately, the state of Kansas still allows anonymous groups to get involved at a level with not the same level of accountability that we have to provide in our own campaigns. We have to provide every donor their address, their occupation, the amount that they've given. There are limits on the amount that can be given. The state of Kansas still allows these third-party PACs to try to influence elections and to use no accountability for it. So I reached out to her when the first negative one. I've been attacked before by anonymous PACs when I've run for office. And the only real impact these anonymous PACs have is that they encourage good people not to run for office.
That's right.
And so I have that's why I reached out to her immediately when that happened, because it's very disappointing to me. I think if someone wants to criticize a candidate or they want to take a stand on an issue, they need to put their name on it, and they need to stand and be accountable for that. You look at the citizens who are lined up here at the microphone. They're not anonymous PACs. These are real people with real concerns who really are part of Wyandotte County. That's the people who should have an influence in our election and not these third-party groups from elsewhere.
Let's go to some of those questions now. Ma'am, if you give us your name and give us a question for both candidates, that'd
yes,
be great.
Yes, I will. My name is Maria Klein.
Good morning.
The president down at Jupiter Gardens. Not only that, I've been around for a long time. Both of y'all have been on the board for a minute, more than two terms. My question is, because we have basically been running Kansas on a short term, in the time that y'all have served the UG, what plans do you have put in your head to come with a long-term range and not a short one?
What are your long-term plans? Mark Hollin, let's start with you.
Well, we've had some good success. The success out west has provided a lot of jobs and a lot of economic development. And I consider that the low-hanging fruit. We need to take that success and continue to plant it in the urban areas. You'll see that we've had good success at 78th and State, rebuilding a new grocery store. 18th and I-70, a new grocery store and a lot of ancillary businesses that come around it. 39th and Rainbow. The next two major redevelopments that we need for the long term in Kansas City, Kansas, I believe, in the urban area, number one is Indian Springs. It's at a big intersection. It's 100 acres at I-70 and 635. It's been blighted for too many years. We have control of it. We're going to get the police officers out first and then push it over. And then start over with a new development. That's going to be big. Also, investing in downtown. Downtown Kansas City, Kansas is everyone's downtown. And that's why I'm glad we're having this gathering right here in the heart of our downtown. We need to continue to invest. We need to bring a grocery store back to the downtown and to the northeast. That's going to be critical because we've seen once you have a grocery store, it continues to stabilize the neighborhood, it stabilizes property values, and it gives people a reason to be excited about their own community.
Anne Murguia, your long-term plans for Wyandotte County.
Well, I think I've said over and over again that I've had some great success within my district, and I think I've developed a model that we can take to other hard-to-develop areas within Wyandotte County. There's been proven success there with the new $6 million library, the new grocery store. Those are actual projects that I personally worked on with the community, with businesses, with unions, with all different kinds of partners in order to make happen. But we also need comprehensive economic development, which means that just putting businesses within these hard-to-develop areas and seeing if they can survive is not going to work. We need to be able to make sure that areas like the Northeast, where there's 38% unemployment, that they have jobs, that those people actually have paying jobs, that they can sustain those developments on their own without constant government subsidy or intervention. I think that's a very critical piece to redeveloping these other areas in Waco.
Let's grab one more question before a break. Sir, go ahead. A question for both candidates.
Yes, sir. My name's Byron Cole, and I'm with Fathers Advocacy. And we run the largest truly at-risk youth mentor group in Wyandotte County. My question for both candidates would be, what can you promise us and put on paper that we can hold you accountable to, that will allow us to have more resources for our youth in Wyandotte County, especially in Northeast Wyandotte County, and that would allow us to have some sort of liaison between the community and the mayor's office that's governed by the community, and that our professionalism and our wisdom can have input in, because all of the programming that you guys have for our youth don't work. They're falling through the cracks. And we would like to know, if you want to create those kind of programs, which one of you would be willing to come to us? We have a male mentor alliance here in Wyandotte, and we would be willing to sit down with you.
Let's go to Ann Merguia first with this question. How are you going to help the youth of Wyandotte County, Ann?
Well, by
Northeast, specifically, yeah.
Okay. Well, Byron's right on. When you don't listen to the community, programs don't work. Whether, you know, it be a youth program or it be economic development, it doesn't matter. I've said from the beginning, one of the reasons I've had such great success in my district, which has a very similar demographic to the Northeast, is because the very first thing I did when I got into office is we did an in-depth survey, which got feedback directly from the community. That's going to be critical. Whether you're building a new grocery store or you're running a youth at-risk program, it doesn't matter. What you have to do to make something sustainable is you have to know you have the buy-in from the people. That is very critical.
But once you have the buy-in, how are you going to help the youth of Northeast Wyandotte County?
Well, I think it's just what I told you. You have to determine what the priorities are in that area. You budget the unified government according to those priorities. And as youth programming, we'll determine what those priorities are in programming, and we should fund those.
Mark Holland?
Well, I think we have listened to the community. I mean, the community said very clearly they wanted the JFK Recreational Center reopened. It should never have been closed. And we budgeted hundreds of thousands of dollars immediately to get that recreation center back open and providing services. We just had an announcement from the Greater Kansas City YMCA that they're closing the 8th Street Y. We're working actively to keep that from happening. We need recreational opportunities for our youth. And we need to understand, too, we can't do it all as the unified government. We've got to do it in partnership with the groups that are already working with the kids. And so the partnerships that we have with different organizations, I think, are critical. The other biggest piece, the biggest impact we have for our kids in the Northeast or any part of our community is through our school district. And we need to continue to grow the relationship between our school district and the unified government. And the biggest challenge our school district is facing right now are tremendous budget cuts coming out of Topeka. And I think the ability for us to continue to reach our youth and give them the best education that they deserve is to continue our lobbying efforts in conjunction with District 500 to encourage Topeka to meet the legal mandates that have been given to them by the Supreme Court and to fund our schools fully so that our kids have the best opportunity to move forward.
Byron, thank you for the question. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation here live from the Kansas City, Kansas Public Library. We're featuring a live debate between the two candidates for mayor, Ann Merguia and Mark Holland. Coming up, more questions from the audience, lots more questions here. You can tweet us at KCUR up to date with your questions, or you can also post a question on KCUR's Facebook page. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed Friday's conversation about how Sondheim and Surratt collided to create a Broadway show, you can listen to that and all of our previous broadcasts at kcur.org. On tomorrow's program, Caroline Kennedy joins us in studio to discuss her new book of poetry for children. We'll also look at the history of the anti-slavery movement and how it stretches further back than you might think. Well, this hour, we're coming to you live from the KCK Public Library in downtown Kansas City, Kansas. We're featuring a live in-house debate here between the two candidates for mayor. We're visiting with Anne Merguia and Mark Holland. This is the final forum before tomorrow's big election here in Wyandotte County. You know, I'm wondering if the two of you can help out voters here a little bit. Anne, a little while ago, you referred to this race as sort of a choice between the status quo or the shake-em-up candidate. I think you consider yourself the shake-em-up candidate, Mark Holland, the status quo candidate. Is that the way voters should look at this race, and how should they view it in that context?
Yeah, I don't know that it'd be shake 'em up. I will tell you that I am known for taking a stand on things and sticking with that regardless of the consequences for that. So if that's shake 'em up, I guess it's shake 'em up. I think, you know, this race moving forward, what people need to look at is people's experience and results in developing those hard to develop areas. And the reason I keep emphasizing that, Steve, is because Mark continues to talk about this momentum, and we absolutely do have momentum in the western area of our county, and that momentum should continue. And we as a commission, the current sitting commissioners, have all supported those projects that have gone on out in the western area of our county. But now we need to redevelop those other areas. And I'm the only candidate that has had the experience and the results to really physically do that. Yes, it's been within my district, but that district is made up of a very similar demographic of those other areas right. That we need to redevelop.
Mark Holland, do you view yourself as a status quo candidate? Is that a fair characterization here?
Well, I would say my 18-year-old self would be ashamed of that, wouldn't he? But I think I think when the status quo is a trajectory of growth unlike anything that Kansas City, Kansas has ever seen, when you look at the job growth in Kansas City, Kansas, it's larger than any time in history. And so I'm very excited and very proud of where we are. Like I said, being fourth generation from here, I couldn't be more excited about what's happening. How many times have people around the metro area talked about Kansas City, Kansas in the last few years and said, I can't believe it. I can't believe how well it's going. So if status quo is keeping us on that trajectory and utilizing, I mean, the city that what Carol Marinovich was able to do was remarkable because of the changes she had to make in order to bring progress to Wyandotte County. The city that Joe Reardon inherited was much stronger, and the opportunity was much stronger because of what he inherited from right. Carol Marinovich. You know, standing on the shoulders of these two giants, I mean, the next mayor has so many more opportunities to continue the high growth that we have and to continue an aggressive investment into the urban area.
How should voters distinguish between you two? The differences on the issues aren't remarkable, despite the conversation we had in our first half about property taxes. I mean, Anne, you know, you're saying you've done it in terms of economic development. He hasn't. Mark Holland is saying he has the endorsements of the giants, Carol Marinovich and Joe Reardon, and you don't. So how do voters decide between the two of you, given that? Mark?
Well, I think you listen to the pronouns being used. I mean, you'll never hear a quarterback on Sunday stand up and say how I won the game, because nothing that happens at success is done by an individual. It's done as a team effort. And I think that teamwork, that collaborative effort, I think that model, I mean, with the folks that have seen the progress in Wyandotte County know that it's been because people pull together and work on it together. All of the programs that have been successful in Kansas City, Kansas have been because of a collaborative effort. And to have a standard of high-quality ethics and leadership, I think, is exactly what Kansas City, Kansas needs moving forward.
But Ann has been part of that collaboration, if I understand right. So what's the difference?
Well, clearly stepped out of the collaboration when it's time to save 120 employees at the unified government. I mean, I think that's a key step of saying the employees of the unified government need to be a top priority. The services of public safety need to be a top priority. That's a clear difference, I think.
Ann? Help the voters out.
Okay. Well, I would say that a quarterback would use the term I if they were trying out for a team. And they would want to talk about their accomplishments in, as being a quarterback. So absolutely, I'm here to tell the people I'm applying for a job to be the mayor CEO of Wyandotte County. And I'm telling the people what I can bring to the table and what my skill set is. So I'm going to talk about what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In regard to collaboration, Steve, you're right on. I've been part of the entire commission that's voted for these projects. And absolutely, Mark is right on. I stepped outside the collaboration of six commissioners to vote against a property tax increase. I don't think that that was 100%. I don't think all of the commissioners were in agreement. That's why the vote was 6-4. I think there's a big difference. You know, my opponent keeps talking about his collaborative ability, yet I have not heard this entire campaign, one project where he personally has collaborated with anybody to achieve something for the betterment of Wyandotte County outside the work we've done collectively as a commission.
Well, now's your chance, Mark Holland. What's one project you can point to that you sort of spearheaded and put on your own shoulders here?
Well, I think if you look at the issue at the JFK Recreation Center was certainly something that I championed from the very beginning. I think if you look at the work with the developments that have come, I mean, I think the key is when you want to look at a single project that have been the initiatives. The place that I've made major investment in energy have been the Healthy Communities Initiatives. I've been on the ground floor with that when we were ranked 105th out of 105 counties. I've been on the steering committee for that from day one. I've been on the Healthy Communities Infrastructure Chairperson. We pushed through the Complete Streets Initiative that makes sure we broaden the transportation options in our community. We've also pushed through a master plan for trails and sidewalks, so as we continue to build out the infrastructure for sidewalks, that we actually are doing that with a plan. I've worked very closely with the Healthy Communities in terms of bringing a grocery store. I'm on the task force for a downtown grocery store, working with a group of commissioners. So if you look at the Healthy Communities Initiatives and the addressing food deserts and access to healthy foods, addressing healthy communities with the infrastructure, I've also been working closely with recreation centers across the community. Another piece that I've been very active in with the Healthy Communities is making sure that our kids have recreational opportunities. And in the community money that we have for each commissioner, I've been investing that with the Wyandotte Parks Foundation to make sure that we have new playgrounds in each of our communities. So very active in a lot of important initiatives.
You know, Ann, you laid down the charge. He just responded with a lengthy list. Do you have any problem with the list he just gave out here?
No problem at all. I just say that I also voted for the JFK project, and I also have been active in the Healthy Communities Task Force. And not only that, but actually built a grocery store. I'm currently building a grocery store in a Wyandotte County food desert. And he talks about complete street and infrastructure and you know, developing a plan for curb and sidewalk. I've already invested over $1 million worth of private dollars in infrastructure improvements in my district. So while Mark is planning, I'm doing. And that's been the message that we've tried to get out throughout this entire campaign.
You know, Colin Curtis tweeted us this question at KCUR up to date. How do they feel about Kansas House Bill 2069? That's a bill that would prohibit local governments from requiring prevailing wage on public projects. Would you favor that bill or oppose it, Mark Holland?
Well, obviously, we have to oppose that. The lifeblood of the unions in Kansas City, Kansas, the basis of our middle class in Wyandotte County, is built on prevailing wage. That bill is being funded by the Koch brothers and Americans for Prosperity. They're actively working against our citizens in Kansas City, Kansas. We need to oppose that bill. That is the same group that is throwing out attack flyers against me. Clearly, I'm the union supporter here. Clearly, I'm the one that wants to make sure, and I have a ton of union support. I could list my endorsements from the unions, that we need to support our union folks, and we need to stand up to the current administration and to the Koch brothers and say this is not good for Kansas City, Kansas.
Mark Holland would oppose that bill. Ann Merguia, how about you?
Absolutely would oppose that bill, and I'm not sure what Mark is talking about. I have received overwhelming union support in Wyandotte County and pretty much swept union across the board with the exception to a couple of large unions. As I said, fire, police, IBEW, which is BPU, 1290, 1290 PE, just across the board, I have just swept union support and worked with them in a variety of ways. And I understand what Mark is saying about that what the state is doing and the Koch brothers and all these other people. And we could sit up here and talk all day long about the people to blame for bringing this bill forward. But what I'm already working on is meeting with the unions to figure out if this bill passes, what we can do on the local level to protect that prevailing wage requirement that I think is so important to the people working.
Again, if you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're coming to you live from the Kansas City, Kansas Public Library, the final debate between Anne Merguia and Mark Holland prior to tomorrow's election. Let's go back to our audience here. You've been waiting so patiently, sir. Give us your name and give us a question for both candidates, if you would.
Yes, my name is Jim Echols, and question is for both of the candidates. The question before was dealing a little bit with some of the collaboration as far as commissioners and actual voting on the commission. My question is, can you, both of you candidates, who have served approximately the same period of time on the commission.
The exact same period of time, yeah.
Can you share with us, if not the collaboration, some of the programs, developments, and projects that you've personally introduced, if not collaborative, the things that you've introduced and proposed that successfully came to fruition on the commission or as part of unified government's programming right now?
All right, let's go back to Mark Holland for this. Commissioner, what did you actually propose that's been achieved in Wyandotte County?
Well, one of the things that I proposed and worked very hard on was the minimum wage effort. When I first came on the commission, the minimum wage in Kansas City, Kansas was $2 an hour, which was an embarrassment. And so I immediately went to work with a team on the group and helped spearhead a change in the minimum wage. We were able to tie that to the federal minimum wage and then also take that to the state, and it was passed as a state. So the state of Kansas now has a minimum wage that's tied to the federal minimum wage, and that's in large part because of the initiative of being concerned about the working people. And in terms of collaboration on the commission, I've chaired the Economic Development and Finance Standing Committee for the last 2 years, Public Safety Standing Committee prior to that. And as the chairperson of that committee, have helped shepherd through the grocery store. I mean, one of the things that people ask is, if you guys are still on the commission together, how will you work together? Well, when Anne Merguia's group has brought forward a grocery store, my standing committee has shepherded that through the process and made sure that it's had every opportunity. So I think there is a lot of collaboration. When it's time to do what's right for the city, I haven't seen anybody from my perspective, I haven't worked against anybody in terms of making sure that the right thing happens for the community.
Anne Merguia, what have you shepherded through that actually got done in Wyandotte County during your 6 years on the commission?
As a commissioner?
Yes.
Okay. The MBE-WBE-LBE ordinance that commissioner...
Which is?
women, minority, and business requirements place that we place on contractors that do business with us that want government incentive. And I worked on that ordinance with Commissioner Nathan Barnes, and we had unanimous support. Just like Mark said, we had unanimous support when we brought that ordinance forward. It's not as good as we want it to be, but we continue to work on that, and we'll continue to make improvements. We also, I worked with Commissioner Markley on two different ordinances, one which changed our grind and overlay policy, which is our street policy, to now include alleyways. The commissioner has the discretion to include alley improvements on that budgeted item, as well as we changed our graffiti ordinance to tighten up on those graffiti penalties when youth and adults are found engaging in destructive behavior.
Okay.
I add one other thing?
Quickly.
One of the other things that I initiated and feel very good about is ethics reform on the commission. I mean, I think that's we haven't talked about that for a couple of weeks now. But the ethics reform on the commission to make sure that all the commissioners are held to the highest standard in terms of not utilizing their position to bring money into their own organizations. And I think that initiative was something that was well respected by the community, took a lot of political clout to do it and a lot of political hits to do it. But making sure that we have the highest ethical standards at our unified government, pushing through and shepherding through ethics reform that holds all of our commissioners accountable, I think is critical to the good government.
And Commissioner, that was aimed at your opponent back in 2009. That was the target of that ethics policy change,
well,
right?
Well, in fact, it's interesting because that ethics reform first came forward from our ethics commission. The ethics commission was very concerned that my opponent was utilizing money from the unified government for her own organization. Those proposals were brought up, and they looked like they were going to be dead in the water. I picked up the mantle at that point and said, these are good changes, and we need to support our ethics commission to push that through. So we were able to adjust the ethics program at our city to hold all all commissioners, myself included, to a very high standard. See, there's a legal standard of what's legal, but I think government needs a higher standard, which is what's ethical, and to make sure there aren't conflicts of interest. And so there was a loophole that allowed a not-for-profit to have a conflict of interest that was not allowed for with for-profit companies. And we simply removed the whole ethics reform. The whole storm was about removing the word not-for-profit that held people in not-for-profit roles to the same high standard of ethics that we held people in for-profit roles for. So it was a good change.
You know, Anne Merguia, what he's talking about there is your work as executive director of the Argentine Neighborhood Development Association. You've been with that group for a number of years. And this change in the ordinance prevented unified government money from going directly to ONDA. What about that? You know, Mark says that was a direct conflict of interest. You said it wasn't. That wasn't the case. What about it?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that it was not brought forward by the Ethics Commission. It was clearly an initiative that Mark took upon himself to come after me. And I personally believe that was a result of jealousy because of the success I was able to have within the 3rd District. Now, regardless of all of that, in the end, what happened is that I had requested opinions from the local government, the state government, and the federal government in regard to my role as the ED of ONDA and being a commissioner. And there was no issue. Mark didn't like that. He wanted to change that. He spearheaded the initiative to change those rules so it would be a conflict. And ever since those rules have been changed, I have abided by those rules, and we've still had amazing success.
Was it jealousy, though, Anne Merguia, or was it an appearance question that Commissioner Holland is talking about here, where it just didn't look right that government money was going to a nonprofit that you headed up in your non-commissioned time?
Like I told you, I think it was jealousy with the success that I was having within my district. I don't think it was an issue of appearance. It had been a rule that had been on the books for a long time. It had never been an issue in the past, and there have been a number of commissioners who have also run not-for-profits who have received much larger amounts of money than myself to fund their organization. It's never been an issue until I was commissioner.
Mark Holland, are you a jealous guy?
No. I think it's interesting because in 2007, when Commissioner Merguia came on, her organization wasn't receiving any of that money. That money didn't come to her organization until after she was a commissioner. And the only reason it was allowed was because of this loopholes I spoke to in our ethics commission. You know, there's a standard of impropriety, which is covered by legal, but the ethics standard is so much higher. It's about the appearance of impropriety. And when you have a commissioner who, once they're on the commission, is then voting on a budget that puts money into their own organization, that would never have been allowed for a for-profit company. Our ethics ordinance simply forbade it. And to use a loophole just because it was a not-for-profit, by the majority of the commission, clearly felt like it was a conflict of interest. And so it was a strong vote. But I think that ethical standard, and I think this is a big part of the choice for Kansas City, Kansas, I shouldn't have to be asked by my fellow commissioners to rise above an appearance of impropriety. That should be an innate contribution that someone in the elected office takes. And I think that's the standard of excellence we need to have in our mayor's office.
Anne Merguia, an appearance of impropriety. He keeps using that phrase. What about it?
Well, considering the ethics ordinance was passed and the agency that I work for has not received any money since 2009, I don't really think it's an issue anymore. We have been very successful in doing a whole lot of things within my district. And we're going to continue to do that, and we're going to continue to do that without any money from the unified government.
Again, you're listening to a live debate in the downtown Kansas City, Kansas Public Library between Anne Merguia and Mark Holland, the final debate before tomorrow's big election. Sir, you've been waiting very patiently here at the microphone. Give us your name and give us a question for both our candidates here, if you would.
Yes, my name is Edwin Burgess.
Hi, Edwin.
And recently I went to a meet and greet that the COPS program had. And this is a majority-minority community, yet over 95% of the people on the police force are not people of color. What will you do about that?
95% of the people in the police force, not people of color. Mark Holland, how big of a problem is that? Is it a problem in your view?
Minority community.
In a majority-minority community, okay.
You know, one of the reasons I live here and I'm raising my family here is because I want my kids to grow up in a community that's reflective of the real world. And so we have a community that is There is no ethnic majority in Kansas City, Kansas, and I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of the diversity of our community. It's clear that our police department, our fire department, and many of our departments in the unified government do not reflect the richness of diversity. And I believe that our organizations are better organizations when we have that cultural diversity in place and absolutely committed to.
How do you get it, though, Mark? Kansas City, Missouri has been struggling with the same issue for many, many years. How do you get it?
First of all, you have to set a standard at in the mayor's office that this is a value. You have to say that this is something we're going to work on. I also don't think you have to reinvent the wheel. There are communities around the country that are being more successful than we are. We need to adopt the policies that allow us to move in that direction, and we need to do it with all due haste. We need to have someone who is going to lead the charge in making sure and leading by example to make sure that we're diversifying all of the programs and departments in ours, including the police and fire. I feel very strongly about that.
Ann McGee, how do you get more police officers of color in Kansas City, Kansas? Hang on a second, sir. Go ahead, Ann.
Ask the question again.
How do you encourage more police officers of color in Wyandotte County in Kansas City, Kansas?
Well, I do agree with Mark on this piece of that answer, that it is going to have to come from the next mayor. It is going to have to – diversity is going to have to be valued by the mayor CEO of the unified government. And then if I am the next mayor CEO of the unified government, I'm going to hold the people accountable that are doing the hiring. It is absolutely inexcusable that the police or fire or that the unified government as a whole is not even close to being representative of the demographic that we have in Wyandotte County right now.
And you
it
can
is
change
appalling
that as mayor.
Absolutely, you can change it. Absolutely. And you need, and it doesn't need to be a process, and it doesn't need to take a long time. It needs to happen. The people working for us need to reflect our community. At the end of the day, it's very easy to make that happen. You either hire minorities or you don't.
Let's have a round of applause for both our candidates here at the Kansas City, Kansas Public Library. Well, advance voting has begun. Polls in Wyandotte County open tomorrow morning at 7. Thank you both for coming in. Good luck to both of you tomorrow.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you very much.
That's Mark Holland and Ann Merguia. You'll find more information about our program at kcur.org. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR up to date. Tomorrow on the show, Caroline Kennedy joins us in the studio to discuss her new book of poetry. We'll also look at the history of the anti-slavery movement. Our thanks again to the Kansas City, Kansas Library for partnering with us for today's debate. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, and Beth Lipoff. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.